Be seated this morning, and thank you all for being here. It is a wonderful day, and man, God has blessed us with beautiful weather the last couple of days. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we have been so blessed, and we are so thankful that God is good in every way. If you're visiting with us this morning, as Henry said, we hope you'll come again and join us in our hour of worship. It's always great to have you here, and we hope that you'll stay around for a few moments and let all of us have the opportunity to greet you and make you welcome and make you feel welcome. This is a wonderful, loving congregation of God's people. And I hope that all of you will be here tonight at 6 o'clock. My lesson is entitled, What is Your Life's Purpose? You may have not found it yet, but I hope that you'll be here tonight. We're going to talk about our purpose. How many of you have appreciation for illusionists? You know, it's amazing to me. Sometimes we see them on television, the great illusionist actually do things, and sometimes you sit there and scratch your head trying to figure it out, kind of like this one. It's amazing, isn't it, how that happens? What about this one? You figure that out? How about this one? Or this one? Do you see anything unusual about this picture? Huh? You see the man and the woman in that picture? How many of you think these cars, that one is bigger than the other? It is not. And we have a little circle here to depict it. It is an illusion. What about this one? Now just watch. Or this one. Now, that's amazing. I want you to read this. You don't have to read it out loud, but just read it quietly to yourself. And you probably, 90% of the people who read this read it wrongly. It does not say many people think that optical illusions are tricks of the eye. They are not. They are tricks of the brain. Our eyes see them as our brains interpret them wrongly. Now, I read that wrongly. That's probably the way you read it. But if you notice, the first line says many people think that, and there's another word, that, optical illusions are, there are two R's, tricks of the eye. They're two they's, they or not. They are tricks. Tricks is in there twice. Our eyes are in there twice. We see them as our brains. Brains are in there twice. Mind you, some people need more than they have. But interpret them wrongly. Now, we do. If you were reading that, what would you say? Very quickly, most people say a bird in the bush. Doesn't say that. It says a bird in the bush. Now, if you look at that. Well, I'm not here this morning to talk about all of those illusions, but I do want to talk about some national, extreme illusions that we have in this country. If I were to ask you this morning, what does the future hold for America? You and I are going to have the opportunity to help determine the course of this nation in just about 9 days. You and I will have the opportunity to go to the polls. And by the way, I hope you're registered to vote. It is a great privilege that God has given unto you. You don't have to wait if you are registered till Election Day. Early voting is still available to you as I speak. But there are some lines of departure in our country that all of us must surely be concerned about. And our prayer today is that God will save, that God will spare America. I want you to focus your attention with me, however, as we draw a parallel between those of Isaiah's day in the Old Testament and in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 18 through 20. The Bible says, "For wickedness burns as fire." Listen to the rest of this. For wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and the thorns and kindles the thickets of the forest, for they shall mount up like rising smoke. He says, through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire, and no man shall spare his brother. Isaiah had witnessed the corruption and the degradation, if you will, of the Israelite nation, the people of God. Sometimes you would like to believe that the people of God are always what they all should be, but that is not the case at all. Factually speaking, when you go back and read that text, you understand this one thought, that people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions to be destroyed. Do you know, in our country today, we have a lot of illusions. And there are a lot of illusionists who are trying to pull the wool over our eyes. They say a lot of things to keep us from finding out what the truth really is. But the real issue, when we look at Isaiah's day and look at our day, can it really happen here? Is there a fire of wickedness that is burning in our nation? The answer to that is absolutely. So I want you to think with me this morning about some national extreme illusions that we have in this country. When we look at America, we would all like to think that we are speaking the same language, but we don't. If you turn on your television, you'll find that there is a party against a party, and that people are not speaking the same thing, and that there are divisions among us. And there is an illusion that says the first condition was that these people were filled with pride. They were. Verse 18 says, for wickedness burns as the fire. You know, pride can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing. For the people say, in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones, he said. The sycamore tree are cut down, but we will replace them with the cedars. You see, God in reality was sending judgment upon the Israelite nation, but they made two mistakes. And you mark it down today, God will send judgment upon any nation that does not fear Him. For the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell fire and all the nations that forget God. But think about it. One mistake that they made, they ignored the cause of the calamities that were coming upon them. Sometimes we wonder in America, and we look at our great country, and it's still the greatest country in all the world. It is the most blessed nation in today's world by an almighty God. But I know one thing, that people have a tendency to ignore the warning signs of God about what may be happening. Number two, they arrogantly boasted that they would rebuild. You know, when God destroys a nation, He does not give them the power to reveal and to rebuild their lives. It doesn't happen. Not if God does it. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Some people say, are we facing the end in this country? Are we? We keep talking about making America great again. But when we look at all the bad things that are taking place in our country, look at all the anarchy on the streets. Oh, there's some great things that are going on. And I give praise to our president for what is going on. Amen? It is great. And I thank God, and I believe God raised up Donald Trump for such a time as this. I believe that. But I'll tell you another thing, that there is anarchy in the streets. When people go into a house of worship and kill innocent people, it is nothing short of anarchy and pride. And in the book of 1 Peter 5:5, Peter said that God is opposed to the proud, and a man's pride shall bring him low. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said to us as a nation almost 150 years ago. He said, we have grown in number and in wealth and in power as no other nation in the world has grown. We vainly imagine the deceitfulness of our own hearts. All these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient, too proud to pray to the God who made us. And when we believe that America will always stand because we are Americans and because the blood in our veins runs red, white, and blue, we have missed the mark. Because I'm telling you, it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we stand today as a nation. But there was a second illusion that these people had, and I'm afraid that in reality it is an illusion that is taking place in our world. And that was the internal confusion. You listen to people talk today, they are so confused about a lot of things. In verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 9, for those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are brought into confusion. You look at our Congress today, where they are. You look at all the liberalism that is going on. It's going to be interesting to see how this election turns out, isn't it? It is. That's why God is calling upon you to make your voice heard in America. I am convinced of that. A nation will rise or fall because of her people and because of our God. We don't need another corrupt politician in Washington who is fighting against God. We don't. But there are some people, if they were to admit it, that they are totally confused. There are some people like you and I, maybe, who are totally confused at times. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know how to vote. I don't know what I ought to do. Well, in 9 days, you better find out. And you better make sure that you vote on the side of God. This concept is repeated in verse 19. He says that no man shall spare his brother. They were so wicked, it didn't make any difference. And this refers to anarchy, does it not? There was poor leadership from their national leaders. And you know, there are some people that are party loyalists. I hope you're not. I am not. I want to tell you this morning, I am not a party loyalist. I am an independent, and I will exercise my right to vote for the individual who represents that which is holy and good in the sight of God. If you're not outraged by what's going on in our country today, you're not really paying attention. Civil unrest is coming to America. Think about the caravan down in Mexico now, coming all the way from El Salvador and Guatemala. Mexico has agreed to give them asylum in Mexico, but they don't want to be in Mexico. They want to come to our borders and enter into this country illegally, which is a violation of God's law, and it is a sin, by the way, to do that. And yet we have a lot of bleeding hearts today who think that we ought to just never turn anyone away, regardless of whether they're legal or illegal. That will be interesting also, because our president is taking measures to prevent that from actually happening. We are close to civil unrest and anarchy in many places in America. And there are warning signs. You don't have to be a scientist from Harvard to figure this one out. We are involved in nothing less than a civil war of values. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? You look at it. You look at people today who say unkind things about one another. It is that collision between seeing life in different ways. And in reality, it doesn't take us long to figure it out. It's not an issue of two alternatives from which to choose, but it is in reality a life and death struggle. One value system is going to predominate. One is going to rule the other. Why can't we live civil in our world today? Didn't the Apostle Paul say to live peaceably with all men as much as in you is? Someone said that political correctness is tyranny with manners. I think it was Charlton Heston. The First Amendment is a wonderful amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. It reads that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press, or the right of the people to peacefully assemble. Obviously, the gentleman or the man who went into that synagogue yesterday didn't believe that those people had American rights. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. You know, you hear this statement all the time, separation of church and state. Some people would be very unhappy with me this morning for bringing this lesson. But in reality, I will challenge anyone, and I mean this, I'll give a $100 bill to anyone who can show me in the Constitution of the United States of America that Thomas Jefferson ever wrote that there must be a separation of church and state. Not there. You won't find it. I feel very comfortable keeping the $100 in my pocket. But it is available to any of you who think you can find it. Thomas Jefferson did a lot of things. Factually speaking, he rode his horse down Pennsylvania Avenue one time. And he did that to attend a worship service, believe it or not, that was being held of all places in the House of Representatives. In fact, the House of Representatives hosted church services, listen, in the chambers for nearly 70 years until the mid-1880s. Can you believe that? Jefferson even loaned out the Treasury Building in Washington, get this, to one congregation for their worship service because there was no sufficient building in Washington, D.C., where they could assemble together at that particular time and worship God. He also signed legislation that gave land to Indian missionaries to put chaplains on the government payroll. How would that fly in Washington today? And to provide punishment of soldiers who were ungodly. That's the kind of people that framed the Constitution of the United States of America. And again, I thank God for Donald Trump for placing men on the Supreme Court who will uphold the Constitution in its supremacy and its beauty. He gave a congregational proclamation on Tuesday, March the 19th. You can go back and document all this. I'm not just speaking this off cuff this morning. In 1782, that sponsored the publication of Bibles. They imposed Christian morality on the military. And they prayed at one point, "Make us holy that we may be a happy people." Our nation's founding fathers were convinced of the promise from Psalms 33 that declared, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." But there was a third illusion that the people of Isaiah's day had, and I'm afraid in some way it's an illusion that many in America have. And that was they ignored the warning signs. Isaiah warned them of God's impending doom, that God was going to destroy them because they were so wicked and that they burned in their wickedness. And yet in today's world, when we see the signs that come from Almighty God, and I believe He has given us many of them, we're ignoring His warnings. God's warnings are to protect us, not to punish us. And when the conditions are ripe listen to this, for forest fires, forestry officials erect what they call a burn ban to keep people from burning at random. And in verse 13, the Bible says, "For the people do not turn from him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts." They ignored the burn ban. God says, "I'm going to burn you. I'm going to destroy you." And when you read the Bible, you recognize in the book of Matthew 25 and in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 and following there, that there is coming another fire. It's called hell fire. And it's for those who reject God and those who disregard His will. The question this morning, is God warning you? Absolutely. And we who do not heed the warnings of God's judgment will face the consequences. That's why God calls upon us as a nation from time to time to repent. To repent and come back to God. Luke 13 and verse 3. If God is consistent in His dealings with America the way He always has been throughout the history of mankind in this great United States, He will warn us of the approaching judgment of God. For the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." But then there was a fourth condition. There was a progressing of wickedness. Someone has said, you know what, our country is so wicked today, and it is, isn't it? And even though we call ourselves a God-fearing nation, our nation has become so corrupt and so wicked. When innocent lives are taken, when children are abducted, when children are abused, when people could care less about God, they fail to read His Word, they never walk through the doors of the house of worship, they don't reach out to one another like they used to. You know, in this country, people used to help one another. When there was a need, we were there to meet that need. And when there was a problem, we were all there trying to solve that issue and to deal with that problem. But in today's world, it is a dog-eat-dog world. We're looking out for number one, not our neighbor. And Jesus said that the second command is to love your neighbor even as yourself. But verse 18 says, "For wickedness burns as fire, and it shall devour the briars and the thorns, and kindle the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like rising smoke." When I read that passage, I can't help but think about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. When the wickedness was so great upon the earth that God brought an end to those two cities. And He had to send angels down to get Lot and his family and bring them out. It was so corrupt, so ungodly, so immoral. But they delighted in it. They didn't take issue with it. Even Lot. We've got people today that are the proponents of all the evil that is going on in America. And you've heard me address subjects like abortion and homosexual lifestyles and things of that nature that are against the will of God. And we've got men sitting in the halls of Congress today and in our Senate who oppose such behavior. We talk about innocent lives. What about the innocent life of that young baby that is jerked from its mother's womb? If a person doesn't want a baby, won't you put it up for adoption? There are a lot of people in the world that would love to have children and give them a great and wonderful home. By the way, it's good to see the Griffins here today with their new baby boy. I hope you see that baby. He's a beautiful baby. I don't always say that. Some of them are ugly. But that's a beautiful baby. He is. And I didn't say that about yours. Dr. Carl Zimmerman, many of you may have heard of him, He's a great psychologist. And anyway, he studied the deterioration and the ultimate disintegration of various forms of culture that people have. But he found that in each society, the disintegration of the culture was preceded by the disintegration of the family. Now get that, folks. As the family goes, so goes America. As the family goes, so goes the church. He discovered the common elements that were always present when a nation fell. Let me mention some of them that he mentioned. One of them was the increase and rapid increase of divorce. No-fault divorce. Fewer children and less respect for parents and parenthood. The rapid rise and spread of juvenile delinquency. When parents do not assume responsibility to bring your children up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, you are a contributor. But then number four, common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. And when men think that they can live with men outside the will of God, hey, not so. They will reap what they sow. Or when women think that they can live with women in sexual perversion outside the will of God, they will face the consequences of such behavior. That's why we as Christian people need to start working to try to bring people together. We don't have to fight. We don't have to have all this anarchy. Just use your mind and get away from party loyalty, folks, and start thinking about what would God want me to do. If our country survives, and I mean this, and it really is a big if. I know right now things look pretty good, but you know what? It hadn't always looked good. It will be because there is an awakening in our lives of committed Christians across our nation who began to realize that it's not only their opportunity, but the responsibility of all of us to do what God has asked us to do and forget the political correctness and get back to what is right and correct in the sight of Jehovah God.
Amen.
Then we'll turn our nation back to God. Ethics like morality and integrity and trustworthiness and honor and those things have gone out the window. Patrick Henry once said, "The Constitution is not an instrument for the government, listen, to restrain the people. In reality, it was an instrument for the people to restrain government, lest it come to dominate our lives and our interest." William Penn once said, "If we aren't governed by God, we will be ruled by tyrants." That's why it's so important, and you'll have that opportunity in about 9 days. You have it between now and then, but you need to exercise your right to vote. I encourage you to vote. On November the 6th, the decision will ultimately be made that will alter the course of our nation, where we go from here. Pray God that we will make the right decision. One man recently said boastingly, "When I'm in the voting booth, I leave God outside." That is your big mistake. He left God outside. How dare he do that? If political candidates or political party endorses homosexuality, abortion, we dare not vote for them. I don't care who they are. And I would tell you that if it was the Libertarian candidate or the Republican candidate or the Democratic candidate or the Independent candidate, whoever it happens to be. I'm going to tell you something, folks. My vote must be consistent with what God said. It is for our sins and the sins of that kind of nature that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And if we say, but I have an allegiance to that party or that change, you better start thinking about your allegiance to God. But Romans 1 and verse 29 says that their lives became so full of every kind of wickedness, and I'm reading from the NIV, sin and greed and hate and envy and murder and quarreling and deception and malicious behavior and gossip. That's what we're talking about. And Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's why we vote. That privilege does not always exist in other nations of the world. It doesn't. And it's not based upon what you want. I'm going to tell you, I'm not voting in this election because it's what I want, but what God wants and what is right for America. I'm not saying everybody and every party is always what they ought to be. But when I look at the platform and the basis for those people, whoever they are, and it endorses things that God calls an abomination and God calls a sin, how in the name of heaven can I vote for someone like that? And I'm going to tell you something. Some politicians are full of baloney. I don't care how many of them approve their message. Our prayer ought to be for America. Lord, I'm sorry for what you see every day in our country. For the hatred, the bickering, the bitterness, the resentment, the refusal to accept your son. Forgive our country and help us turn around. And that's what this lesson is all about this morning. Would you turn back to God? Will you? The Lord God says in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11 that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why will you die? And you may go through this life, but as one preacher put it several years ago, someday, there's a payday. A payday for what we do. That's why we have to turn to Jesus or we burn in hell. And we go down in the flames that are prepared for the devil and his angels. And we meet with the wrath of God in the flaming fires of wickedness. And the only hope that we have, the only hope that we really have in this life, is not better men in Congress, not another man in the Oval Office or in the White House, but it's through the man Jesus and the merits of his blood upon the cross that gives us the opportunity to cross the chasm that separates us from our eternal home. And waiting to become a Christian is dangerous to your soul. When you realize that you have not confessed Christ and you've not repented of your sin and you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins and you are lingering in a dangerous situation and you are experiencing an extreme illusion if you think that you can rush toward the gates of heaven without becoming God's child and hope to get in. Maybe some here today need to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you've strayed away from your master and your Lord and you don't look at things like you used to look at them. The things that you recognized as sin, you've come to accept. And you believe it's all right because many of the illusionists in America have pulled the wool over our eyes. And our brain cannot discern between evil and good anymore. But we need to come back to God. And that's what this next song is all about. A return to God. To the one who softly and tenderly calls us. Let us stand and let us sing.